Hello.
It is good to see you all today. Why don't we... Oh, what was I going to say? Mental lapse. Hopefully that's the only one today. Why don't we pray and then we will open our Bibles and get to work. God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good. Thank you for loving us. Thank you that we can open this book, and when we do, it's your word, and you speak to us. So God, as we read this morning, we pray and we ask that you would touch our hearts, that your spirit would awaken our minds to understand better, and more than anything, awaken our hearts to feel what you would have us feel, that we might obey you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we've been doing this little mini-series in Matthew chapter 5. You can flip there. We will get there shortly. The idea of this mini-series is, okay, how do we truly obey God? What does it look like to truly obey God? How does that look like? How does that work itself out in our lives? And the idea is that, well, obeying God is not something that we're too thrilled about just on the face of it. So we know we need to, but why do we have to talk about it so much? Well, it's because Jesus did. So he's telling us how we can truly obey God, and what he does in each one of these little teachings that we've seen, he's changed the question from how do I do the minimum required, how do I do what I really want to do and still be okay with God, in other words, to what does God really want from me? What's God's desire in his law and his instructions? What does he really want? What is the heart of God? What's the spirit of his law? And as we've gone through this, what we've seen is that they've been difficult. All of them, just one on top of the other, they have all been difficult teachings. At least what Jesus said has been difficult. And today's, the last one, is no less difficult than any of the other ones. In fact, I think I said I was kind of half joking, either to somebody here or downtown last week. I'm thinking about not going to church next Sunday because I knew the passage that was coming, and it's like, this is out of all of them, this is the one that I would rather skip. Not because it's you know uncomfortable like some of the other ones were, but because it's just. It applies to me every day of every week, and I'm not thrilled about it. But it's in the Bible, and it's God's word for us, and so why don't we talk a little bit about it? In this text, Matthew 5, verse 42, verse 43, got behind. Matthew 5, 43, to the end of the chapter, Jesus is going to tackle the issue of, okay, how do I treat people who don't treat me well? How do I treat people who are not nice to me? How do I treat people who I would rather not have anything to do with? And on the face of it, that's a weird question to ask. That's a weird thing to talk about. That's a question we never ask ourselves. I never drive down the road idly thinking, how should I treat that person who was mean to me? Doesn't even cross my mind. I don't worry about that. Why don't I worry about that? Well, because the person who's not nice to me doesn't deserve me to even think about how should I treat him. That's a silly question to ask. It's a ridiculous thing to ask. How should we treat people who are not nice to us? Well, they don't deserve us to treat them well. So why even consider that? I make sure that I treat people well who treat me well. I mean, if you buy me a really nice present for my birthday, when your birthday rolls, I'll think about when your birthday might be. I'll maybe mark it on my calendar and try to remember it, or ask my wife to remind me because I don't remember things very well. So I'll like make a point of knowing when your birthday is. But then on top of that, I'll probably think, okay, how can I get you a gift that you will think is about the same level of the gift that you gave me? If you've treated me well, I want to make sure that I'm treating you well. But if you've treated me poorly, I never even think of how you're going to think about how I'm treating you. It doesn't bother me. Don't care about it. And the reason is because we treat people the way they deserve to be treated. Not always. You're going to think of, you know, that time when you were nice to that person who was mean to you. And I know there's exceptions. We're not all horrible all the time. But most of the time, we treat people the way they deserve to be treated. So if I like you, If you've been nice to me, if you've treated me well, if you could help me in the future, think about that, okay? Then I'll be nice to you. I'll go out of my way to treat you well. I'll go out of my way to say hi to you. I'll have the time of day for you. I might even like text you on my own, not just responding to you talking to me. I might even call you or I'll seek you out. I'll have time for you. I'll help you. If you need help from me, the answer will be of course. Of course I can help you. Just let me tell me what you need. Why? Because I like you. You've been nice to me. You could help me. I'll give you a hand. I'll help you because, you know, I'm just storing up a favor for the future. I'll share with you. Of course I'll give you something. You need some money. Of course I'll give you some money. I'll give you some. You like my shirt? I'll give you that shirt. That's fine. I can get another one at Sam's. Because I like you. We're friends. We're good. It doesn't matter what you need or what you want. We'll eat together. I'll give you food. I don't care. It doesn't bother me because I like you. You deserve me to treat you well, so I will, because we treat people the way they deserve to be treated. Now, if you've been mean to me, if you've not been nice to me, if you treated me poorly, if you haven't helped me in the past when I've needed help, if I just don't like you for whatever reason, don't tell me there isn't somebody that you're just like, I don't like them. Well, why? I don't know. It's their combination of their hair and their face. I don't know. I just don't like them. Okay, if I don't like you for whatever reason, I'm probably going to ignore you. I'm not going to help you. You're going to ask me for help, and I'm going to say, oh, really? I'm not sure when you're going to ask me for help, but I'm busy then. I can't help you. I'm going to make up an excuse. I won't be able. I'm not going to give you anything. I'm not going to do anything for you that I can possibly avoid doing. Why? Because you don't deserve me to treat you well. Because remember that time? Remember how you talked to me? And we think, oh, this is like other people. If you're married, think about your marriage. We do this in our marriage. How does she deserve me to treat her? How does he deserve me with our parents? What have they done for me lately? We do this with everybody from the people closest to us to the people farthest away from us. We treat people how they deserve. And then there's kind of a third category, people who, I don't really know you. I don't know if you can help me or not. I don't dislike you. You've not been mean to me. I don't really like you, so it's just kind of just neutral. I'll treat you the way you deserve to be treated. I'll kind of ignore you. I'll be cordial. I'll be nice. Hey, how are you doing? And then I'll just keep going. I'm not going to, I'm going to avoid any, helping you or anything because, well, you don't deserve that, but I'm not going to go out of my way to be mean to you. See, everything, when we treat people, the way we treat people, it totally depends on how they deserve to be treated. And see, as I'm saying this, sometimes I'll talk about at the beginning of how we treat each other, and I could tell in your faces, it's like, oh, it's like, yeah, that's right, and that's horrible. I shouldn't be like that. As I'm talking about this, you see, you're smiling with me. Why? Because this doesn't sound horrible. This sounds normal. This is just, of course, this is how we treat people. This is the way people deserve to be treated. We feel justified and treating people how they deserve to be treated. I don't feel bad about that. When I say that that's how I treat people, you say, well, of course, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's like, oh, you shouldn't treat people mean because they're mean to you. But, that's what we all do. That's the way it is. I don't feel bad about being mean to someone, being obnoxious, talking about someone if they've talked about me. I don't ask you to forgive me if you've been bad to me and then I don't, I ignore you or I'm kind of mean to you or I do something against you. Why would I ask for forgiveness? You deserved that. That's not horrible. Or you haven't given me what I deserved. You haven't been good to me. And then I'm just kind of indifferent towards you. I didn't even treat you bad. And what do I feel? I feel good about myself. Because you deserve for me to treat you a lot worse than I treat you, and I don't. See, I'm actually a pretty good person. We're justified in doing this. Now, if you deserve for me to treat you well, you've been good to me, you've been nice to me, and I don't treat you well, then what do we do? Oh, I'm so sorry. Well, why are you sorry? Well, because you deserve for me to be better to you than I was. See, I'm sorry. I wasn't as good to you as you deserve for me to be. And then I'm going to ask you to help me move at some point in the future. And we're good, aren't we? We're that's what they did in Jesus' day. Look at Matthew 5, verse 43. They treated people how they deserve to be treated. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your enemy and you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. And what Jesus does here very explicitly is what he's been doing in all of these. He's been mixing their hodgepodge of what the law actually literally said and what their teachers of the law mixed in with the law. And in this case, it's half and half right down the middle. The law, look at, if you don't have to look right now, but Leviticus 19:18, what is it? Love your neighbor. Love your neighbor as your... Love your neighbor as yourself. So that's what the law actually literally said. But then in their rabbinical teaching, their teachers of the law teaching, it had crept in this second half of that, which is not in God's law, but it was in their religious law, which was, well, love your neighbor. And of course, logically, if that's true, well, you can flip that and the inverse is true, right? We're logical people. So you can hate your enemy, because if you're supposed to love your neighbor, you're justified, and actually you should hate your enemy. And so that seemed, I'm sure, to them, like a very logical way to treat people. That's a human way to treat people. That seems logical to us. It's like, well, of course, I'll be good to people who are good to me and who deserve me to treat them well. I'm not going to pick a fight with the guy who lives next door to me because he lives next door to me. I'm going to treat my wife well because she deserves for me to be treated well. Unless she's been mean to me, then I can kind of treat her in a bad way. But of course I'm going to treat people who don't deserve, my enemies, well, of course, that's not even a question. I'm not going to treat them well. That's just a logical way of treating people. That's what they did. And Jesus then and now is going to change the question, as he's done throughout this, from what are you required to do, what can you justify doing, whether you're right or not, to what does God actually want you to do? What's God's heart? Before we look at what Jesus says, if you think about this, I need to ask you a question. Don't answer out loud. That would be embarrassing for all of us. But who are some of the people who have treated you poorly in your life? I know we don't like to think about them even. It's like, okay. So think about that. Some people that you just dislike, and you deserve to dislike them because they deserve for you to dislike them. They that's what they deserve. So here's the big idea that Jesus is going to unfold for us. Jesus calls us to treat everyone better than they deserve. Jesus calls his followers to treat everyone better than they deserve. Look at verse 44. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So he's saying, take that same love that you're supposed to have for your neighbors and extend that all along the range of everybody you run into in life. People that you're indifferent to, that you could care less about, all the way to the far end of that, or the complete opposite of the people you love. Apply that same love to your enemies, to the people who are the very worst with you. And you say, love, so is that kind of like a hippie, you know, hey, peace, love, I love everybody, dude, it's good. That's not what he's saying. It's an active thing. In the Bible, love is not feeling a certain way only about people. It's seeking other people's best interests. It's actively doing things for other people, helping other, forgiving and giving and sacrificing and opening up your wallet and opening up your calendar and opening up your refrigerator and opening up your life and helping and giving to other people. That's what love is. It's seeking what's best for other people at your own expense. It's an active thing. That's the way it is in the rest of the Bible. That's what Jesus is referring to here. Look at the next word he uses. It's an active thing. He's not saying don't just feel a certain way about your enemies. He's saying actively love them. Seek the best for them. Look at what he says. It's an active thing. And pray for those who persecute you. Pray for. That's asking God's. It's not just you doing something nice for someone who doesn't deserve you to do anything nice to them or for them. It's you asking God on their behalf, saying, God, would you bless that person? Would you help that person? Like, oh, I don't want to get God involved, not in a good way in their life. I want to call down fire and brimstone on them. God, give them what they deserve. You know what they deserve. But pray for them. Pray blessing on and God's favor on people who don't deserve even you to be nice to them. And then you're supposed to love them, actively seek their good. And then you're supposed to ask God to do that. That's a whole step of treating people better than they deserve that is so counter to what you and I do and feel that we should do. And even if on a Sunday morning we could say, okay, I can kind of see why Jesus would say that, as soon as we leave here, that's not the way that we live and the way that we feel that we should and could live. Look at who he says we're supposed to love. Everybody from your neighbors all the way to your enemies, people who deserve the worst treatment, and those who, what? Persecute you. Do you have somebody in your life who actively tries to hurt you? Who actively is evil towards you? Who actively would do you damage and harm? Maybe they would, and you know that, so you avoid them. Or maybe they come after you. He said, that person, just to love them and treat them better than they deserve. What Jesus is saying here is that we're not supposed to just forgive. We've talked about that. We're not supposed to just kind of let things go. He's saying we're supposed to proactively do good things for people who are proactively trying to do bad things to us and who have done bad things to us. With those people, we're supposed to be generous. We're supposed to help them. We're supposed to give to them. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to proactively give and do good to people who have done evil to us. Why? Why should we do that? Keep reading, because here Jesus is going to lay down this huge, huge reason. And this huge, huge burden, it's like, this is why you should do this other thing. And if you read this and you say, well, that's it, that's like he's calling out the big guns. This is like the biggest reason that he could do, the biggest motivator. That's almost not fair. Why would he use that to motivate this behavior? It's because I think this behavior, treating people better than they deserve, is it goes so in counter to how we are. And so what does he say? Do it because that's what God does. Imitate God. How does God treat people? Better than they deserve. So how should we treat people? The same way. That's what Jesus is going to say. Look at verse 45. So do all that, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. He's saying, treat people better than they deserve. Not so that you, that's not how you become God's child. You know, so that you can be God's child. Does that mean what happened to repentance and baptism and making a decision to follow Jesus and coming in entering into Christ? What happened to that? That's how you become God's child. He's saying so that you will be like your Father. Children imitate their father. If you're God's children, you're to treat other people better than they deserve because that's how your Father treats people. How do I justify treating people the way that they deserve? Because they deserve it. But then when my Father treats people so much better than they deserve, that completely takes away my justification for treating you the way that you deserve, the way I think you deserve to be treated. God treats everyone. Look at what he says. He makes his sun rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. That's common grace. God is good with people who obey him and with people who don't obey him. He doesn't make you choke on your own air and close off your windpipe every time you disobey him. We can live in complete rebellion against God and still breathe the same air and eat the same delicious food and enjoy the sun and the rain and everything that God gives us and live indoors and enjoy God's blessings, whether we're in completely rebellion against him or not. God is good to all of his creation, to every person that he's created. He treats us better than we deserve to be treated. See, with God, and that's the message of the Bible. With God, God always treats people better than they deserve. That's the definition of grace. What do we deserve from God? We're made in his image to reflect his glory, to reflect what he is like. And so he's told us, here is how you should live. Why? Well, because this is how you will best reflect what I am. So live this way. And what do? We say, I don't want to reflect someone else's glory. I want to reflect my own glory. I want you to look at me and be impressed not with God, but with me. So I'm going to live the way I want to live. And I will ultimately disobey God because that's in my best interest if I'm going to be my own God. I can't submit to someone else if I'm going to be the boss of my own life. So I disobey him. I rebel against the king of the universe. And by doing that, I deserve his wrath. I deserve him to squash me. like a little ant. That's what I deserve. I deserve him to punish me for all of eternity because I've thumbed my nose at the king of the universe by rebelling against him and trying to take his place. And what does he do? He treats me so much better than I deserve. What do I deserve? This is a little thing, that the question and answer thing I do with my kids. What do we deserve from God? Death. I don't deserve to be alive right now. What has God given me? Well, I'm living. I'm alive. Better than I deserve. He gives me air. I had a wonderful breakfast this morning. If you like oatmeal, I had a great breakfast. Better than I deserve. He gives me so much more than I deserve. And then he sends his son to forgive me. I don't deserve that. Jesus lived a perfect life. He didn't have to do that. He died on the cross in my place, receiving the Father's wrath. He didn't have to do that. And then the Father, that he rose from the dead in the power of the Spirit and on my behalf, and now he offers to me, if I enter into him, if I repent and am baptized and decide to follow him as Savior and Lord, he offers to me the same thing, his perfect life placed over my imperfect life, his forgiveness, my sins taken away from me, and then the promise that I will rise from the tomb, the death that I deserve. That's incredible. God treats us better than we deserve, and he offers to treat us, to treat everyone even better than that. He treats us so much better than we deserve. And then Jesus continues by going back and attacking and tearing down our the way that we think, this whole mentality of treating people like they deserve. Look at verse 46. I think he does this because even if, after he lifts up, this is the way God is, so you should be like him. There's still something in us that as soon as we leave today and someone treats us poorly or we see someone that we don't like, we're going to treat them how they deserve. He raises up then and he attacks that mentality. He says, If you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors and sinners do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? We live in this world of I'll do for you what you have done for me. I will treat you the way you deserve to be treated. And Jesus comes and he attacks that and he says, that's not doing anything different than anyone else. That's not a spectacular treatment of other people. So you're really nice to people who are really nice to you. That's not something to applaud. That's just common human nature. That's as human as needing to eat and sleep. That's just human nature. There's nothing special about that. We don't imitate God. When I can't hold up all the good things I've done to all the people who are good to me and who I need to in my life and say, well, that's what makes me a good person. That's just what makes me a normal person, a normal person. And then he ends with this verse 48 where he says, be like your father. He goes back to that huge reason why we should treat people better than they deserve, because God does. You, therefore, must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. In the context, what does he mean by perfect? He means be complete, be mature, be complete, be perfect, be integral. Treating people how they deserve to be treated is not being complete. It's not being mature. It's not being a person who is perfect. It's being justified in treating people poorly. That's not being a complete person. It's treating people bad and being justified for it. And God is perfect. He's complete. He doesn't have, well, I'm going to be good to people who are good to me and bad to those who are bad to me. He's good to everyone. That's completion. That's perfection. And Jesus is saying, imitate your Father. If you will be children of God, live like your Father. So what should we do? We should live lives of better than they deserve, better than we deserve, better than other people deserve. How do we live with this philosophy of I'm going to treat people better than they deserve? Or practically speaking, it starts treating other people better than they deserve. It starts by receiving from God the Father a treatment that is better than you deserve. It starts by us coming to God and receiving forgiveness and receiving adoption in his family, and God the Father receiving us as his children. It starts by us submitting to him in repentance and baptism and saying, forgive me, and receiving not just the common grace of air and wind and sun and food, but receiving the special grace that God gives to his children of being forgiven in Christ. And you do that by repenting and being baptized. And in this community, when you're ready to make that decision, if you've never made that decision, you receive that better than you deserve treatment from God by telling someone, I'm ready. I want to repent. I want to be baptized. You can do that. And then we live lives of better than they deserve by, well, after we receive that from our Father, treating other people better than they deserve. And listen, doing that, practically speaking, starts by us making a decision. It starts with a mental decision that, okay, I'm going to change how I decide how I'm going to treat people. I normally decide how to treat people based on what they deserve. And I'm going to decide to treat people better than they deserve. No matter how they've treated me, I'm going to decide I'm going to treat them better than they deserve. So that's a mental decision. But then how do you live that out? Let me ask you a couple of questions. So hopefully we can apply this to something specific in our lives. Who in your life right now doesn't deserve you to treat them well? Who's been evil to you, withholding from you, bad to you, not nice to you, whatever word you want to use, that person. Who is that person? Who deserves you to treat them poorly? Do you have a name? Do you have a face? Okay. How can you treat that person well? Not just say, okay, I love them, we're good, but what can you actually do? What's like a thing, a physical, tangible thing that you can do for them or give them? How can you help them in a specific way? How can you be generous with that person? What's something that you can actually do this week to be kind to that person, even though they really don't deserve it at all? How can you reach out to them? Why don't you decide to do that? Because then you'll be like your Father who is in heaven. And every time when you're, maybe you think of something, you think of a person, and you think of that, and you're like, oh, yeah, I should do that. And then tomorrow when you're about ready to pick up the phone or make the call or buy the thing or, you know, help the person or call them or send the note or whatever, you think, oh, but they don't deserve this. And everything wells up again. Why am I going to do this for somebody who doesn't deserve it? Think to yourself, this is the way my Father treats them. This is the way my Father treats me. And if I treat them better than they deserve, I'm giving glory to my Father who is in heaven. Why don't we stand together? We'll pray. Dear God, we come to you right now and we thank you for being so good to us. Let us not get lost in how difficult it is to be good to other people, that we forget the main point of this, that you have been so extravagantly good to us. You love us. You give us life. And you offer us life as your children. We thank you, God. Now, God, we ask that you would help us to treat other people better than they deserve. And I pray, God, that you would put in each of our minds someone who deserves us to, we could justifiably treat horribly, and maybe we have been. And show us exactly a very practical way, something we can do today, tomorrow, this week, to be good to that person. And God, I would ask that you would show each one of us who that is and what that thing is that we can do, and then inspire us by your example of your goodness for us to reach out our hand and be good to that person, that we might give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.